I would like to invite you to open your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, where we will read together verses 36 through 50. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. We're going to think on a very straightforward theme this morning and message, which is entitled, Forgiven Much, Loves Much. Before we read the Word of God, let's first pray. Heavenly Father, our Lord, we pray and ask that you will speak to each one of us in a way that we will know that we have heard the voice of the living God. Amen. One of the Pharisees asked him, that is Jesus, to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she's a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he cancelled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he cancelled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. So he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Why have we gathered here this morning? Can I ask each one of you sitting here in this building and those listening online, why are you right here, right now, and not anywhere else? There may be a number of reasons coming up in your mind. May I adopt a reason from our text for why we are here, and it's found in verse 40. It is because the Lord Jesus has something to say to you and to me. Yes, that is right to you personally. Whether you're a child or in your old age, whether you're a Christian or not, regardless of what describes you and your current situation, God knows all about it. And based on our text, Jesus says, I have something to say to you. What is that? We see it in verses 41 and 42. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. This is the story of the parable of the two debtors. One owed the master or the money lender an amount equivalent to a common laborer's labor for 500 days, and the other what only amounted to 50 days. However, neither of the two were able to repay their debt. They had nothing with which to repay. So, what does the money lender or the master do about it? Instead of throwing both of them into jail or confiscating their personal belongings as payment for the debt they owed, or delivering them up to be tortured for compensation for what they owed, he very generously cancelled the debt of both of them and freely forgave them. Here comes the searching question. Which of them would love him most? Which will love the money lender more? The one who owed him 50 or the other who owed him 500? Now, in order to answer the question, we need to go back to our passage, so we can get the setting in which Jesus spoke these words. What was the situation, the circumstances? We are told that Jesus was invited into the home of Simon the Pharisee. He was a religious leader for a meal. In comes a woman with a jar in her hands of perfume, expensive, fragrant oil. She's described to us as a sinful woman. And what she goes on to do catches the attention of everybody in the house. She goes and stands directly behind the Lord Jesus, behind his feet, and she starts weeping. She weeps so much that she wets Jesus' feet with her tears, and then she starts to wipe his feet with the hair on her head. And then she begins to kiss his feet and pour perfume onto them. What a moving scene. Clearly, she's doing something very remarkable for Jesus, won't you say? In those times, anointing was a common expression and a sign of showing respect, sometimes done by a host for his guests. She comes in and pays respect to Jesus. Simon the Pharisee doesn't like it. In fact, he is deeply offended by what the woman is doing. In his heart, he felt that Jesus should have known that this woman was a sinful woman who was touching his feet. These were the circumstances under which Jesus told the parable. We can now come back to the parable. Which one of the two debtors would love the money lender more for freely cancelling their debt? Simon, Jesus says, tell me, which one of these two would love him more? Simon responds and he replies to the question, I suppose the one who had been cancelled the more debt, the larger debt. Jesus says to him, you are right. It is the one with a greater debt cancelled. But Simon, have you understood the significance of what this woman was doing? Have a look at verses 44 through to 47, because I think it helps us to understand the meaning of the parable. Simon, do you see this woman? I know what you're thinking. Well, I see her too. Let me tell you what I am seeing. I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Both Simon and this woman were in the presence of Jesus. But can you see the contrast between Simon and her? In how they treated Jesus. The woman did for Jesus what Simon didn't do. She came into the house on a mission. And in the process of carrying out this mission, she was overcome with emotion. The emotions of realizing that her sins, which were great, had been forgiven. And she starts anointing Jesus' feet. And Jesus calls that love. She loved Jesus to the point of weeping and anointing him in this way. And Jesus says, she loves me. Why does she love him? Verse 47, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. What about Simon? We don't see him shed any tears for Jesus. He did not wash or anoint his feet. He certainly didn't kiss them. Did he love Jesus? Well, he didn't show any love for Jesus. Jesus says that those who love little do so because they've been forgiven little. Simon didn't love Jesus. Why not? Because he didn't feel like he had been forgiven much. He was a religious leader. He had some interest in Jesus, granted. Perhaps it was more an academic interest because he calls him teacher. He invited Jesus into his home. But I wonder if he actually even believed in Jesus. Verse 39 makes it clear when he says in his heart about Jesus, if this man were a prophet, he would have known what type and what manner of person this woman was that was touching him, a sinner. He didn't believe that Jesus was even a prophet, let alone the Son of the Eternal God, or the Eternal Son of God, equal with the Father. He didn't love Jesus because he didn't feel as if he had been forgiven anything. He felt under no obligation to him. In fact, perhaps the opposite. That Jesus might have rewarded him for inviting him into his home. That's what general religion does. And that is what being a good person society like ours does. Many people don't see themselves as sinners in need of forgiveness, but as good people to be rewarded. Do you see yourself as a sinner or a good person? We are all in debt towards God. We have all, in thought, word, and deed, broken the law of God. As lawbreakers, we have sinned against God, whether we like it or not, whether we're willing to admit it or never. There is not one of us this morning that can stand before Almighty God and say that He owes me anything. The Bible is expressly clear in stating that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we have nothing with which to repay. We cannot repay God for the debt that we owe Him. We cannot pay off our sin. How would we do that? No amount of money, religion, good works, acts of mercy, good attitude can compensate God for the debt that we owe Him. We have nothing with which to pay. Why not? The Bible tells us that we have all become like an unclean thing, and even our most righteous deeds are like filthy rags in the sight of God. All things we can possibly do, in and of ourselves, God considers defiled and filthy, and they cannot count for payment. We are all unclean, and our deeds and our actions are like dirty clothing that we are wearing. Job asks the question in Job 14, verse 4, who can bring a clean thing out of something that's unclean? Well, no man can do that. If the Lord were to mark our iniquity, Almighty God, who sees all things, Psalm 130, verse 3, says to us, no one will be able to stand. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, we have all sinned, and we have nothing with which we can repay God for our sins. This woman had nothing with which she could repay. But Jesus says in verse 47, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. What has happened? Claudius read to us early in the service from Isaiah chapter 53. And there in verses 3 to 5, we read the following words. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him our chastisement was laid that brought us peace. And by his wounds we are healed. we all like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Who does the prophet speak about? Who has done all these things? In Acts chapter 8, verses 18 to 26, 28 to 20, 36 rather, Philip speaks to the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Ethiopian eunuch read this very same passage and he did not know who the prophet was speaking about. And in verse 36, Philip explained by preaching Jesus Christ to him. Jesus Christ, bearing iniquity, taking punishment, when he died on the cross, he was the one we know, and you know, as a lamb that went to the slaughter, carrying our sins. The Bible is very clear that the man who sins must die. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, she loved Jesus deeply. Her sins drove her to him because he provided atonement for her. Her heart was touched and changed by the fact that he had done this for her, and she showed her love for Jesus in the best possible way she knew how. We need to reflect on this passage a little bit more closely. First point of reflection. If you have received the forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus, you possess the most precious gift: all your sins, including your worst sins, have been forgiven, cancelled, covered. You will not enter into judgment. Eternal life is yours. And God's special presence will accompany you in this life, throughout your life, all the way to eternal life. Forgiveness is a very precious gift from God. That's the first thing we need to realize. The second is, it is very possible to show respect to Jesus and yet remain unsaved. Simon the Pharisee is an example of this to us. He showed Jesus more respect than many people would. He invited Jesus into his home, but he remained profoundly ignorant of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was outwardly polite and courteous, but there was no heart love for Jesus. The Lord Jesus said to him, his lack of love was evidence of the fact that he had not received forgiveness for his sins. Someone who is not forgiven is going to have to answer for their sins, including their worst sins, on the day of judgment. I know that this world hates hearing about that. My question to you is, what have you done about your sin? Have you ignored it? Have you denied it? Blamed it on others? perhaps struggled with all sorts of problems because of your guilty conscience? Or maybe you have thrown off all restraint and become a complete slave of sin. Tell me, have you actually gone to Jesus Christ with your sins? Children, have you done that? Have you asked the Lord Jesus to forgive you of all your sins that you are aware of, and even make you aware of the ones you're not? And asked him to take away your sins. If you're a visitor here today for the first time, what about you? If you've been coming to this church for a long time, what do you have to say to yourself? What have you done about your sin? It doesn't help to be like Simon, who have Christ only as an casual acquaintance. If this describes you, then Jesus has something to say to you. Look at this woman. That was the whole point of Jesus speaking to Simon. Notice the woman, to follow the example of this woman. I know that some people carry a great burden of sin on their shoulders. The weight of what they have done have crushed them. They appear on the outside to be all good, but on the inside, their hearts are shattered into pieces, and their souls are severely wounded. They can't talk to anybody about it because they feel too ashamed. And the world around us, with all its gurus, marketing techniques, professionals, psychology, technology, distractions, have done absolutely nothing for them. Because they are walking around with a sword over their heads. If this describes you, can I ask you the same question that Jesus asked Simon the Pharisee in verse 44, have you seen this woman? The sins, which are many, are forgiven. The way that Jesus dealt with this woman is an encouragement and should be an encouragement to anyone, however bad their sins may be, to come to him for pardon and forgiveness. I'll give you an example of another woman, a modern day woman who'd done something similar, Velma Barfield. She was born in North Carolina in October 1932. She was the oldest daughter in her family and became the target of her drunken father's abuse in an attempt to protect her younger siblings. A lot of times, she wanted to talk to other people about all that was happening and the bad feelings inside of her, the anger and the resentment. Velma said, "But I don't think that anyone could do anything about it anyway. No one knew what life was like in my home." When she was 17, she escaped home. She met a young boy, and over the next few years, she had a son and a daughter, and for the first time in her life, she experienced some form of happiness. But then life started to fall apart again. Hospitalized after an accident caused by a drunken driver, Velma suffered her first bout of depression. About the same time, her husband began to drink and become abusive. Velma supported her family by taking 2 full-time jobs. Worn out by stress and lack of sleep, she suffered a nervous breakdown. She found some relief from the pain and the shame through the drugs that the doctors administered for her depression. Soon, she became addicted to drugs. Then, in March 1978, Velma confessed to poisoning her husband. Although she was aware of what she had done, she could only remember wanting painful people to go away. Coming off drugs nearly killed her life in prison as she awaited trial. Her one thought was, I want to die. Outside Velma's cell, there was a guard who regularly listened to a Christian radio station. One night, an evangelist invited everyone who could hear the voice of Jesus to come for forgiveness. Velma said, the horror of my life was unbearable, but the marvelous revelation was that God knew that I was helpless without Him. And that is why He sent His only Son. Jesus, who was blameless, paid the penalty for me because I couldn't undo my grievous sins. I couldn't bring those people back to life. I couldn't go back, but I realized I could go forward. Going forward wasn't easy. Even with Christ, Velma was convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to death. The next 5 years of appeals was a time that God used for the salvation of many in prison. Velma joined a Bible study group in prison and led many women to Christ. But God chose not to stop her execution. Velma Barfield, with peace and assurance, her lips moving in silent prayer, closed her eyes in death at 2:15 a.m. on 2 November 1984. Velma and this woman of Luke chapter 7 are testimonies to us of 2 women who were sinners. But the saving mercy and compassion of Jesus Christ got hold of them, which gave them the assurance of His forgiveness for their sins, which became the lifeblood and the driving force for their love for Christ. If you're a Christian this morning, your Lord Jesus has something to say to you. Those who are forgiven much loves much. Don't lose your love for Christ. The kind of love that we see in these women. When a believer comes into the presence of the Lord Jesus, they are propelled by an overwhelming sense of the love of God for them, which is the secret to doing much for Christ. Feeling is the secret for doing. To put it in the words of the songwriter, then no fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future is sure, the price has been paid, for Jesus has suffered and bled for my pardon. He was raised to overthrow the grave. This I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can sing. I am free. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.